7, and I'll read my text. Verse 7 and 8. Verse 21, verses 7 and 8. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make a serpent and set it upon a pole. Pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord. We thank God for everything you've done here tonight and everything you will be doing, Father, in the lives of people, Lord. In the lives of those, Father, that call you by name, Lord, that call themselves Christians. We thank you, Almighty God, and we ask for your blessing upon this message, upon this time together tonight. We ask you to remain with us tonight, Lord God. We continue to invite you into this sanctuary at all times, Lord God. Every time we walk through those doors, Father, we want to feel your presence, Lord, at all times, Father. We thank you, and we're grateful to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Pardon me, I usually don't like to drink water up here, but I guess I did a lot of talking. Making idols from purpose. You know, church, the children of Israel did not respond to deliverance with gratitude, but with an attitude. And many times the churches, we respond not with gratitude, but we develop it. You know, man's with gratitude. Man has never been thankful to God for everything he's done or how he has delivered people. Doesn't that just sound like the story of the church? Are we ever content with what God has done? The church has been fed, so what now? You're all sitting in comfortable pews, feeling pretty good. We got the blue chairs. We all kind of selectively picked those, except for our boys that kind of like the hard ones. Actually, they don't have a choice to sit in the front. But we all pick the blue chairs. We want to be comfortable. We don't want to come out of our comfort zone. And you know, church, there's times we got to come out of that comfort zone. We get fed, and we're content to sit back and stay with what we've been fed and keep that in our systems, and we don't do anything with it. You know, the thirst of the children was unquenchable, and God would meet that thirst. You know, when you read to the book of Numbers, when you look at this chapter 21, the people, the children of Israel, were always complaining about hunger and thirst. God will always meet your hunger. God will meet you at your thirst. But church, what then? What happens after? After you're fed, after you have had your thirst quenched, God, through Moses, instituted a serpent on a pole for a specific reason. Those things instituted by God for a reason do not necessarily carry on its intended effectiveness to an unaffected people. Many times God puts together a program for us. God puts together purpose for us. And many times that is for a reason and just for a season. And it's done, church. Many times. But you know, today there's an expectation that God has to continue to give and give and give. And we expect God to continue to give and give. Yet we as a church stop giving. We've kind of, in a way, told God, you know, we're content. You have fed us, God. You know, when Moses put up that serpent up on that pole, we were content because you know what? You healed us. You healed us from the bites. And we're content. Where's the church in America tonight? Are we content? Place your eyes on that pole lifted high. What do you see? Place your eyes on that pole up there. What has it become? Are we lifting the pole up high? Will we see it for healing or for worship? I'm going to get to my point here, church, which basically my title, Making Idols from Purpose. Will we see it for healing or for worship? There are things instituted by God that can become idols in the church. There is tradition. We have allowed it to be our guide in place of God. There's music. We have placed an emphasis on praise of the music, but it's not coming from the heart. There's program. Does it include asking the Spirit to remain silent? Many times we want programs, church. We want ministries. Don't ever let Royal Rangers become a god in this church. Don't ever let any program become a god in this church. There is emotion. Does it drive speaking in tongues in place of a true unction from the Holy Spirit? Many times we start creating gods as we go along. There is tradition. Is that what we're tied to? If someone were to ask you tonight, church, was to walk, line you up one by one, asking you, what do you really believe? What would be your answer? Really think about that. What do you really believe? In the United States, there is a lot of confusion. The enemy has confused so many people, has confused the church. My question is, what do you believe? Church, you know, if and I put it on top of this pulpit, and I had certain words written on that notepad, the first word written across that notepad would be murder. Can't preach on that. There's a lot of people in our church who maybe have done something and it might be offensive to some. Flip the page. There's adultery. Can't preach on that. There's a lot of adultery going on in the church. Sensitive issue. There is people stealing from God. There's no tithing. Let's flip the page. We don't want to talk about tithing. We don't want to talk about giving. You can keep going, flipping the page, flipping the page. There's pride. Better not bring that up. Man, even the small things. Oh, there's Facebook. I'm not going to say anything about that. I'm talking about things that become a god in the church. What has become a god? You know what God instituted and told Moses? Moses, these people are crying. These people are dying. Because Moses went before God and says, what do I do? And I'm just simplifying this. If we go to Numbers 21, 1 through 19, we'll begin there. The point tonight is, we have created idols in the tabernacle from purpose to profane. Numbers 21, 1 through 19. And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Ormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have he brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this like bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You know, church, the bite of sin, the bite of a serpent, a venomous snake, caused pain, heat and burning, and probably an unquenchable thirst, especially since there was no water. Sources, people, archaeologists, people who study this, look in a biblical text and look at history, say it was Egyptian that were turned loose on the children of Israel. This would make it ironic that the Israelites were taken out of Egypt to be plagued by an Egyptian cobra. Died in slavery or died by the bite. Verse 5, we loathe the bread, we are given angel food, and we loathe it. You know what, church? We are giving the Word of God here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Thursday night. And sometimes we loathe the Word of God because it brings conviction. And we can't stand conviction because it means we have to take action. And action means we have to confess. And confessions means we need to get it right and stay right, be right. And many times the church in America is saying, stop right there. I don't want you to go too far, church, because you're flipping pages and you're exposing my sins or you're exposing my thought life. You know, church, we're getting too close to the end. We're getting too close to the end. There is a purpose for that serpent up on a stick, up on a pole. There was a legitimate purpose. But what has the church done? There is no bread. Church, he has provided the bread of life. There is no water. He has provided springs of living water. What are we doing with it? Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us for the people. Said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You know that this serpent of brass, church, it was not an idol but a symbol. You know, church, it took time to make the serpent. You know, many more died during that time. It took effort to look for the pole with the serpent. It took faith to look towards it for healing. Death by a serpent below, restoration by a serpent above. Man is still looking for a solution in an image that fades instead of a symbol it represents. We need to present a holy God to an unholy nation. They need to be able to see the Son of God lifted high. A sobering thought, what are we lifting high in today's church world? Do people see a serpent or a Savior? What are we holding up? I really think about that. I thought about that in my life. What do I hold up for people to see? In my workplace, what are people seeing? Do they see old practices instead of a new excitement? When was the last time we were excited about church? And really, we were really, truly excited about coming to the house of God. Put ceremony aside, church. Let's just be frank here. Put the ceremonial side of it, the scheduling. We've always done this, the agendas aside. When was the last time you were truly excited about coming to the house of God? Really think about that. When was the last time? When I was first saved? Man, when I was first excited, we had Bible studies and we did this, did that, and now it's just humdrum. And God is saying, I'm still exciting. It's you that have lost the excitement. We have lost excitement, church. Somewhere along the way, we got to get it back. And it's not even so much for us, church. Those doors lead out to the world. Someone is going to come to those doors looking for the excitement that you have about a holy God. And if we don't have it, guess what? They're going to continue looking elsewhere. And they're going to be satisfied elsewhere. And that satisfaction is going to lead them to hell. What can you say about yourself at that time? I never had that much excitement. I was never too excited. John 3:14 reads, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man lifting up the Son of Man. Church, there is sin everywhere. And I'm not even talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. I live in a community. I work in my community. My work is a community. There's many, many different thoughts, ideologies, theologies. There's a lot of people with different thoughts about Christianity. And you know what, church? I'm not saying that they're wrong. But I can tell you what, I don't think they're right. So what does that make them? I'm not here to judge. I got to judge myself, church. But I see things that I'm thinking, I don't think that would be acceptable in the tabernacle of God. I don't think that would be acceptable in God's house. I don't think that practice is something God entertains. And I think, you know, Christianity has been overwhelmed by the enemy. He has come in, destroyed, and made a mess. From this point where Moses had put up this serpent, 726 years later, 2 Kings 18, verses 1 through 7. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old. Into reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and he broke the images, and he cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. You ever think about that, church? 700, that serpent on the pole survived 726 years. It sat in the tabernacle. It probably sat against the wall in a place to be remembered. You know what the children did to it? They started to it. They made it a god. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. You know, it has been noted by biblical scholars that Hezekiah is a symbol of revival in the church. He removed the sin out of his life. He trusted in the Lord in his life. He clave unto the Lord with his life. He broke the serpent into pieces. The symbol had become an idol in the tabernacle. It had a sense of godliness because of its purpose, but the purpose had been. The serpent on the pole needs to be broken in the church world. The symbols need to be removed so that those that need the gospel can obtain it. About our Christian walk tonight, church, are we burning incense to old traditions? Have we set up idols in our lives? What have we done in our lives? You think about that. What have we placed in our lives? The flesh many times runs our lives, dictates what we want to do next. God is asking, I need another Hezekiah. I need to clean their tabernacle. I need old fiery serpents to be taken down and broken. Amos 5, verses 19 through 27 reads like this: as if a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. You know, sometimes in sin, church, even inside the walls of a church, you put your hands to work inside of a church, and many times if you're not careful with those traditions and those things that become idols, it's very easy to get bit by that serpent. Verse 20 goes, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? Verse 21, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. Amos talked of God rejecting what Israel thought was right. Israel was still doing traditionally what they had done, but it was, their heart was not in it. Ritualistic, no heart. Isaiah 29:10-14. For the Lord hath poured out you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. It's lip service. Are we still doing lip service in the house of God? Church, many times we still hang on to traditions. We still hang on to things such as, well, my parents were in church. I had a godly grandfather, godly grandmother. Man, I have a rich Christian tradition. Church, it's going to come a point in your life that you can't rely on that anymore, because it's becoming a crutch. It is time to stand on your own two feet before a holy God and kneel on your own two knees before a holy God. It is time for us to be accountable one-on-one with a holy God, because you can't hold on to the hand of tradition forever. It's time to make a decision. And now is now. Unity Church, when God gave me this message, it made me think, and I've had this for a couple of weeks. Actually, even during revival, I was thinking about this. I thought, the serpent, why did he break the serpent? Because people started burning incense to it, and God was telling me, that is what you have been doing. That is what everyone else is doing. We are creating idols in the church. Somewhere along the way, and I've heard this before, even recently, what are we missing? What are we missing in the church that not so much people aren't coming in, but there's a hunger that we're not satisfying? We're getting the Word of God. We are getting preached. We're getting good messages. The Word of God is being expounded. We're learning. But what is missing? It makes me think, what is missing, church? I think it's just me. As individuals, it's accountability, it's integrity. You need to put the old traditions away. We can't go by those traditions anymore. We can't go by this and by that. It is what is now. It is what is now, church. There is a world out there. And, you know, Thursday night, the Bible study, that the message, I've never thought of this way, but there's probably people wanting to break. And what exactly do you guys believe? Do you guys really believe that? I want something that you guys have. I want the same excitement. But church, we don't have any excitement. Do we have excitement to draw a crowd? Think about it. Do we have enough excitement going on in the church? Not even in the church, in your individual lives. Do you show excitement to those people around you? To the person who doesn't even understand you? Maybe not even speak your language, but says there's something about that person I want to learn more. I think about that. There is a whole community out there, church. As I was driving, how there are a lot of, and I see it at work, there's a lot of different cultures coming into our community. And who's reaching out to them? The world is. Who's reaching out to them? It's the world. It's other doctrines. What are we doing? Or are we going to be comfortable in our blue seats? We need to get out of our comfort zone. I think Brother Jason touched on something this morning. We were talking about ministry. It really makes you think, you know, maybe sometimes you need to do something different in ministry. Maybe it's time to start a fire, not around you, but in your heart, in your life, because we're missing something, and that something is us. Isaiah 29:10-14 reads like this, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, that he covered. And this vision of all is becoming unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." The first two verses. And then we get to 13. They have removed their heart far from me. How do you slumber when men stumble? How do we sleep in when men slip off into eternity? Are we content? You know, church, a couple of years ago I gave a statistic as to how many people die every minute. And you think, those people, some of them are neighbors, some are friends, some are acquaintances, some may even be that person that you run into at a Walmart, at a convenience store, at a gas station. Did you have enough just to throw a spark into their lives? Church, we got to be doing that. We got to be throwing that little bit of a spark. We need to have that spark. A fire's got to start someplace. Isaiah 19:19-25. "In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior, and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it, and they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. In that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria. even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt to my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance. God will bless the Gentiles. We need to be able to answer, church. Put the idols away and present the Lord risen up. Egypt, or that person, the world out there, is always a breath away from eternity. Egypt is crying at our doors, asking what we have to offer. Assyria expects an answer. Isaiah 26:7-13. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little and there little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. We have to offer that which is right in God's eyes and not just in our own. Verse 8, church, you know, what is offered on the table? Is that vomit contain stubbornness, pride, and arrogance? Is that filthiness, hidden sins, rebellion, worldliness? We have to teach precept by precept, but we need to have an understanding of those precepts. How can we teach if we don't even understand what we're teaching? Once again, church, the question is, what do we believe? Now is now. A very short message, church. But God was showing me, and I'm going to conclude with these thoughts. Let you know, America, we've heard this so many times before, is ripe for revival. But where are the harvesters? Where are the participants? Where are the people that are actually going to participate? And where are the spectators? Are we spectators anymore? Are we participating? And participation means that we participate even in service, even in worship, even in worship, even in prayer. Church, we need to consider our prayer lives. We have an altar, and if we have one tonight, you know what we'll find? We'll come. And you could have a really good 2-minute hard prayer. Or you can have 2 minutes waste of time. Because many times we'll bend the knee at the altar. And we'll say we feel like we prayed something. And we feel a little bit good. It's not about feeling good. It's about what God feels. What is God sensing from us? Where's our prayer life? You know, churches, I think about our Rangers, our boys. Notice what our boys are doing here in the front. Look at these boys, church. These boys are all paying attention. You watch their eyes. They are all looking up here at me. They do not stray. Now and then, their attention span gets a little bit. We've seen that, but they're boys. But church, boys, if God is going to use an army of people, if God is going to use people to move forward the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to start with these young boys. These young boys that are sitting here at attention. Yeah, maybe we've taught them. Maybe we've been tough with them in Rangers, saying in Rangers, it's not your job to sit up here and play with your Bible. We've taken away their Bibles. We've taken away the songbooks. Yeah, we've been tough. Commander Lucas has been tough. I've been tough. Except I'm kind of a soft, tough type of guy, you know. I just kind of from the back door, just, yeah, don't do that. Because church, I've seen that, you know, take a look at this church. This is where your church is. What's your expectation? My expectations are high that our boys, these young boys sitting at attention, will someday be the leaders in the church. They will be the boys that will come to pray for me when I'm sick. They will be the boys that will stand and be willing to take a fall for God. They are the boys that are willing to say, you know what? Enough is enough, devil. You don't have control of my life. But church, are we all at attention? I want you to really consider that tonight. Are we all at attention? We got some young people here writing on pads. Maybe they're not paying attention. Maybe that's okay, but it's not. And I'll step on some toes tonight, church. Because God is saying enough is enough in the house of God. Enough is enough. Not even with the children. I'm talking the adults. Are we spending time in prayer with God? Is God saying, I can count on you tonight? Tonight, if there is a soul hanging in the balance, ready to fall into eternity, can you pull them out? Can you pull them out with your testimony? Can you pull them out with your speech? Can you pull them out with your prayers? Can you pull them out with the kind of doctrine that you hold? Can you pull them out? I want you to consider that, church, tonight. People are falling into hell tonight by the handful. While we were singing praise and worship, how many lives went into hell tonight, into eternity? How many people will die, will have to die needlessly before we stand up as a church and say, you know what, God, we're ready. We're ready to see this tabernacle burn with holy fire. We're ready to see this place light up where we don't need lights, because every time we come in this place, it is lit up with the power of God. It is time, church. This community needs it. Chelsea, look for a place tonight. They're going to say, what? I want to see what is burning on the roof of the building. Why is it when you get together, that fire, but it doesn't consume anything? Why is it that we can't get there? Yes, church, physically, yes, many times we're tired. Physical moments. Many times we have things going on in our lives, but there's a time we say, God, I'm going to take it to the altar and I'm going to leave it there. God, burn it up. The sacrifices, just like everything that was sacrificed. Allow it to be burned and be removed. God, let's move forward. But can we do that? I'm saying we can, church. I'm saying we can. When I see these young boys, it gives me hope. Because, church, the world is cruel and ugly. And when I see these young boys that are willing to say, hey, you know what? I'll still come to Rangers. I enjoy it. I'll still pray. Yeah, I'm going to get some grief because I forgot my lessons. But you know what? They'll come back again. They'll bounce right back. Church, it's about what we want to do now. It's about where we want to go. Where we want to go. What is the altar we put up that is keeping us from doing that? I want to conclude with the simple thoughts. Created idols from precepts, ideas, Christian traditions. We can become ensnared not in the cares of this world, but in the cares of unusable theologies. Put away the songs of Zion from your lips until you have the songs of Zion in your heart. We need to tear down the precepts that have ensnared us and place the Savior on high. You know, we always talk about that small, still voice, church. You know, Isaiah recorded 30:21 reads like, you shall hear a word behind thee. This is the way, walk ye in it, when he turned to the right hand and when he turned to the left. You know, that was a metaphor borrowed from shepherds who used to follow their sheep and recall stray off the path. You know, church, there's... But that same voice is saying, it is time to tear down the altars of things that you've set up that are of no use but have become a stumbling block. Simply stated, we need to stop playing church. Because these boys need to know that we're not playing church. It is time for fire, church. It is time for a God who answers by fire to burn, to consume us. Because this place needs to be overfilled. The church people who are sitting here, but it's the outcasts who are saying, I want something, I want truth. And you know what? I'm finding it there. Because of their music, not because of the sanctuary, because every time you go in there, you feel the fire of God. from the sky. Isaiah 29:13. Lord said, "For this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." Concluding with that thought, church, remove yourself from God. Stay close to go forward. It's about effort. It is time to draw close so that those around us can follow. My question for us tonight is, what is your heart telling you? What is your heart telling you tonight? What is the Spirit of God telling you tonight? You know, church, that faith has to go through flesh. You know, faith has to go through flesh. And faith has to overcome flesh. And I want to leave you with this thought. If you'll all stand. Sister Lindsay or Sister Pepper, one of you will please come up to the piano. A lighthouse on a hill was designed for those at sea, riding the waves to avoid shipwrecking on the land, and not for those on solid land avoiding the sea. Where does your light shine, and what needs to be lifted up, and what needs to be removed? Otherwise, church, we can't move forward. A simple question, can you answer that? Church, tonight as we gather around these words of prayer, truly, truly seek God with all your heart. And really search your souls. Because church, this is it right here in Chelsea, Oklahoma. This is the church right now that is in session. This is now. These are people that have the ability to pray, to bring the fire down. Stop being distracted, church, with the reception afterwards. Stop being distracted with the small things. But be attracted to the God things. It is time tonight to find God. It is time to say, God, I really, really, really need to know your heart. And I really need to know, God, if I have set anything up in my life that hinders me or is a stumbling block for somebody else. Simply stated, church, it's time to stop playing church. We are so close to the end. We are at the edge. We are at the edge. And if someone were to tell you tonight, church, persecution begins tomorrow, what would you do with your life? Would you confess everything you've done? Would you say, God, I want to be ready? Someone comes to your door tomorrow and says, it's time. Prove you're a Christian. How do you prove yourself? Can you prove yourself? Tomorrow you may go into eternity. Are you ready to meet your God? Can we meet Him? Do we have the ability? Is there still a little bit of sin? Or is there a lot of sin? Is there hidden sin in your life, church? It is time to get it out. It is time to vomit. That table does not need to have filth on it. That table does not need to have vomit on it. That table needs to be clean. That table needs to have the things that God wants us to be nourished by. The table needs to be covered with the spread of God. He wants to serve us. He wants to feed us. But tonight, church, as we come to pray, sincerely, church, I ask you as a fellow Christian, because there's many times, church, I need prayer. I need your prayers in my life. You need my prayers in your life. We need to pray a lot harder, church. And we need to be praying a lot smarter. It's getting too close to the end, church. The lights are about to turn off. And I think Sister Pepper said something that just stirred my heart, that just stuck with me. There is a long line, church. There is a long line at the end of it. We are all in that line at some point in time. We are all going to stand in this line. And at the end of the line, we are going to face judgment. We are going to die. We are all flesh. And I think, Lord, where am I at on that? And sometimes God says you don't have to worry about where you're at on the line. You have to worry about the person who may be in front of you and behind you, and make sure that when they go into eternity, it is into God's hands, not into hell. Maybe we need to stop looking at our place in line and say, you know what? It's time to look at the guys behind me and the guys in front. And the children around me and the senior citizens in front of me. Maybe it's that time. That was a wake-up call, church, for me. Just that thought that there's a line. And it made me think, it is time. But church, I need your help. I need your prayers. I need your prayers. You need one another's prayers. It is time to light this place on fire. Prayer. It doesn't start with this trumpet. It doesn't start with us turning on the light switch. It starts with every individual on their knees in prayer, saying, God, send down the fire. That's the way we started church. Tonight, I want everyone to come around the altars and simply ask God, what do I need to tear down, God? And please, Lord, if I'm struggling with it, help me to tear it down. And Lord, if I can't do it alone, send someone who can pray me through this, that can help me, that can hold my hand. Because many times we need someone just to simply hold our hands and pray. Church, Christmas is coming. Many of you will see relatives that aren't even saved. Are you going to be the fire for them? Or are you going to be the water? Are you going to put the fire out? Please, church, let's get around these altars tonight. Let's pray.